Welcome back to the Roundtable. A divorced couple, Elliot and Amanda, are honeymooning with their new spouses in the south of France. By chance, they meet across adjoining hotel balconies. And without concern for scandal, their new partners, or any memory of what drove them apart in the first place, Elliot and Amanda rekindle their former tempestuous relationship. Chock full of witty dialogue and laughs, Noel Coward's Private Lives is considered one of the greatest comedies ever written. Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts is presenting Private Lives through March 30th. The production is directed by their artistic director, Tony Simotas. Here now to tell us more are Dana Harrison and David Joseph, who play Amanda and Elliot. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Thank you so much.
It's a delight to have you both here. So what is it like to take on this work and to take on Noel Coward?
Well, it's a wonderful piece of writing, which Shakespeare and Company tends to pride itself on, is really do works that are specifically about writing. And it's a wonderful comedy about situations, but the writing in it has such density from one scene to the next that the comedy comes out of some real heartfelt moments. And for me, playing the sort of Noel Coward's voice of Elliot in this role, it's been a tremendous gymnastics for me, and it's so fun to play.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many layers to Noel Coward's work that you can just keep digging deeper and deeper. You can play it just as a light comedy of manners, and it's delightful. But as you keep digging deeper, you realize his understanding of relationships and his philosophy about the world and religion. I mean, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. So what we've tried to do from the beginning is find a nice balance between the comedy, because it is so funny, and the deeper things and some of the darker things that make these two people tick, drive each other crazy, and need to be together.
You mentioned the dense nature of the dialogue. What challenges does that what challenges that present in trying to really take it all in?
In some ways, it's more of a gift than is a challenge. I mean, to be able to have this section of dialogue that has so many layers in it, as opposed to it being a challenge, it gives me, as the actor and the relationship that I have with my fellow artists on stage, the ability to take the scene in so many different directions. So it is a challenge in that one has to choose where to go with it, but the ability to have so many choices in every word and every line is a real gift for an actor.
You would agree, I assume. You're
absolutely.
You are nodding, Dana. So I assume you. Agree.
Absolutely. Having him be such a wordsmith and know so much about the human psyche, and put it into his language just gives you so much to play with. I mean, everything from alliteration that he uses in different lines to his philosophy about the world and about, you know, chance and what brings people together and the science. It was the 1930s, this time between the wars, was kind of a time of chaos, which in a way reflects where we are now. Our world is certainly fairly chaotic. And he puts all of that into this. So all this new scientific discoveries is layered into this relationship as well. So we just keep digging, and it's a lot of fun.
It's like a timeless piece, too. There are so many themes that are absolutely today as well, like the science, like the philosophy, like the religion that comes in, and like the world around them. At one point, my character says that it's just too much. It's fine if you're a specialist and you're concentrated at one thing, but for most people, the world is too much. So it's wonderful, and I hear oftentimes when we're having argument bickering sections, I've heard people in the audience already go, "That's you! Yeah. Oh, that's you!" So you can feel the audience really be able to set themselves into these arguments and these romantic situations, both comically and dramatically. So it's been really fun to play and feel the energy of the audience enjoy it too.
When we first had our very first read through, and there's the two couples at the beginning and then the couple that gets back together. So there's a lot of combinations of these four people. And we all sort of had this experience of, oh my gosh, I've been in every one of these relationships, you know, and for better and for worse. Oh boy.
Oh, this is all of our lives.
It's just written better.
Yeah.
They're much wittier than we are.
Is there a specificity, a specific nature to the language that is so specific that if you miss a beat, if you miss a line, that it screws it up down the line. I guess that was where I was going with the challenge part of it.
Well, there it is in certain ways inherently British. Like there's certain dryness to the comedy, which is inherently British. But I think there isn't such that if you miss it, you'll forget what's happening. I don't think it's really quite that specific. And there are themes and, again, situations that are so recognizable in its total nature that even if you miss a little part of it, you'll pick up exactly where it's going.
And he brings it back. Like my character refers to essentially talking about chance and chemistry and she uses the phrase chemical thingamies, you know, that if they fuse at the right moment and the right spark is struck, there's no telling what one mightn't do, she says at one point. And then it comes up again and again and again, the chemistry and the chemical things in the air that make two people come together. So he brings it back. So if someone does miss it by laughing or chewing their gum or whatever, it comes back.
No one does that in a Shakespeare.
No,
no.
Or open heart candies.
They've all been trained. Experienced theater audiences. Have you two? What is your relationship with the company? Have you been there for?
Yeah, we've both been there. This will be our 9th season both of us. Yeah, yeah. And we've had the luxury of working together so many times on past shows. So what was great about delving into these two characters, having these relationships, is Dana and I have, you know, what we would refer to at the company as a shorthand with each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like you walk in and say, oh, hi, I'm David. Oh, hi, I'm Dana. And you try and figure it out. We walk in and we already have had such relationships with each other that we're really several steps forward that, you know, working at a company like Shakespeare and Company affords us. And it's a real luxury and a treat to do.
Because it almost becomes a shorthand, right?
That's right.
And you get to move forward and we spend more time on the important stuff and less on the introductory.
Exactly. And Tony as well. Mm-hmm. We both worked with Tony several times. So when he asks for something, we have a good sense of where he wants to go and what he wants to do and how the process will come together. So it's a real luxury working there that.
And we just sort of speak the same language in terms of working out. Even on the drive up here, we were talking about little tiny moments that might not make a difference, but they do to us and that we're still tweaking and working on because that's the craft. And the same thing with Tony, as David mentioned, from the very beginning, we sort of all found ourselves on the same page of wanting to dive in a little deeper to this text and these relationships and make even the very first relationships with the new spouses more than just sort of a stock characters, people who they obviously don't belong with. We wanted to look at what do they like about these people? What is their story? Could their story be interesting? And it certainly makes it more interesting for the other wonderful actors, Annie Considine and Adam Hoff, to play as well. So,
and I noticed
you have the script open in front of you.
We do. In case you wanted to hear anything,
I would
the play.
Love to hear something.
We want you to read the stage directions, though, with your glorious tones.
Okay. Where do I have that?
Here, I'll give you this. Here you go. So we're gonna start on the middle of this first page, right after Dana says, "What now? Oh darling, what now?" So there's some kissing things that you're gonna have to read the stage directions.
Since they can't see us.
Okay. What now, oh darling, what now? Okay. And then you start, right?
Mm-hmm. So basically what's happened is they've met, they're on their honeymoon, they've run into each other, they've realized they are in trouble. They've tried to get their spouses to go away and they won't. And now they've realized they love each other and are trying to figure out what to do about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, what now? Oh, darling, what now?
I don't know. I'm lost utterly.
We must think quickly. Oh, quickly.
Escape?
Together?
Yes, of course. Now. Now.
Oh, we can't. We can't. You know we can't.
We must.
It would break Victor's heart.
And Sybil's too, probably. But they're bound to suffer anyhow. Think of the hell we'd lead them into if we stayed. Infinitely worse than any cruelty in the world. Pretending to love them and loving each other so desperately.
Well, we must tell them.
What?
Call them and tell them.
Oh, no, no, no. That's impossible.
It's honest.
I can't help how honest it is. It's too horrible to think of. How would we start? What would we say?
We should just trust to the inspiration of the moment.
It would be a moment completely devoid of inspiration. The most appalling moment imaginable. No, no, we can't. You must see, we simply can't.
Well, what do you propose to do then? As it is, they might appear at any moment.
We must decide instantly, one way or another. Go away together now or stay with them and never see one another again.
Don't be silly. What choice is there?
No choice at all. Come.
He takes her hand.
No, wait. This is sheer raving madness. Something's happened to us. We're not sane.
We never were.
Where can we go?
Paris first. My car's in the garage already.
They'll follow us.
That doesn't matter once the thing's done.
I've got a flat in Paris.
Good.
It's in the Avenue Montaigne. I let it to Frida Lawson. Oh, but she's in Biarritz, so it's empty.
Does Victor know?
No. Well, he knows I have one, but he hasn't the faintest idea where.
Better and better.
We're being so bad, so terribly bad. We'll suffer for this. I know we shall.
Can't be helped.
Starting all those awful rows again all over again.
No, no, we're older and wiser now.
Oh, what difference does that make? The first moment either of us gets a bit nervy, off we'll go again.
Stop shilly-shallying, Amanda.
I'm only trying to be sensible.
You're only succeeding at being completely idiotic.
Idiotic indeed? What about you?
Now, look here, Amanda.
Oh, my God.
Rushing to her and kissing her.
Darling, darling, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
No. I won't move from here until we have a compact. A sacred, sacred compact, never to quarrel again.
Easy to make, difficult to keep.
No, no, it's the bickering that always starts it. The moment we notice we're bickering, either one of us, we must promise, on our honour, to stop dead. We'll invent some phrase or catchword, which, when either of us says it, automatically cuts off all conversation for at least 5 minutes.
2 minutes, dear, with the option of renewal.
Very well, what shall it be?
Hurriedly.
Solomon Isaacs.
All right, that'll do.
Come on, come on!
What should we do if we meet either of them coming down the stairs?
Run like stags.
What about clothes?
I've got a couple of bags I haven't unpacked yet.
I've got a small trunk.
Send the porter up for it.
Oh, this is terrible, terrible.
Come on, come on, don't waste time.
Oughtn't we to leave a note for them or something?
No, 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 we'll telegraph from somewhere down the road.
Oh, darling, I daren't. It's too wicked of us. I simply daren't.
Seizing her in his arms and kissing her violently.
Now, will you behave?
Yes. But darling,
Solomon Isaacs.
Very nice.
Well
beautiful.
Done, Joe. Well now, done.
All to you. That was great. I would think that would tire you out.
It really is tiring. And that's just sitting here. I mean,
yeah,
imagine when we're bombing around
have
the stage.
To actually have to work, yeah, and stand up.
At one point, Dana actually does like a hurdle over a balustrade on the stage.
At 4 points.
Yeah. She has a couple of bruises.
Not
to
that
prove
you're
it.
Counting. Not that yeah. You're keeping track.
Exactly.
It's a language-based show. It's a physical show. There's running, there's fighting, there's dancing. There's beautiful costumes.
It's singing. It's something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
Yeah. All good stuff. Yeah. It runs through March 30th. So that's nice, too, because you get to be up for a while and really get to explore it and give the audience a lot of opportunities.
Exactly. And a great luxury, again, for actors to have to really get into these parts. So it's going to be really fun. It'll be a different show this weekend than the last weekend. So come mm-hmm. a couple of times.
No yeah. Cowards. Yeah.
Audiences are really enjoying it. We're getting a lot of really positive feedback, so it's nice.
Yeah,
that's terrific. Noel Coward's Private Lives runs at Shakespeare and Company's Elaine Bernstein Theater in Lenox, Massachusetts through March 30th. More information is available on our website. We have it all up there. It's wamc.org/roundtable. Dana Harrison and David Joseph, thank you so much for being here and for performing for us. And it sounds glorious. Have a wonderful time, and we can't wait to see you over there.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it. And come check us out for our new season celebrating Will's 450.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you both so
much. Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
It. Have a great weekend. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.